You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, our guest shares his stories about finding freedom and happiness by getting rid of most of his stuff.
First, Muslims around the world began abstaining from food and drink from dawn to dusk yesterday because of the start of the month of Ramadan. During this time, Muslims fast, avoid negative habits, and spend a lot of time in prayer and reflection.
Ramadan is the ninth month of the Islamic calendar, which is based on phases of the moon. And when a calendar is based off the moon, the months fall during different seasons each year. A couple of years ago, Ramadan began in the winter. Now it's right in the middle of summer.
If you're not fasting over the next 28 days or so yourself, you might have friends or coworkers who are observing the holiday at a challenging time of year. Our next guest wrote an article on ways to support friends and colleagues in the middle of the fast.
Joining us now is Janella Massa. She's a Toronto-based reporter who's also Canada's first hijab-wearing TV news reporter. She wrote the article, How You Can Help Your Colleagues During Ramadan, for the Canadian newspaper The Globe and Mail. Janella, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, how do you personally feel observing Ramadan affect you at work? No eating, no drinking through the day.
Well, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you have to find the balance, because a lot of people probably think that Muslims dread Ramadan. It's this big, daunting challenge that we have to undertake for a month of fasting every day from before dawn until sunset. But it's something I actually look forward to, and a lot of Muslims look forward to, because you get together with family and you know, it's a moment for self-reflection. It's a time to think about those less fortunate. So there are some benefits. But at work, obviously, can be a little bit of a challenge. It depends on what kind of work you do. I always say the biggest challenge is not so much not eating, but the low energy that comes along with it. So I always find that I start to hit that wall in the afternoon, as most people do, when you might grab a snack. So for me, you know, and for my colleagues, they might notice that I get a little less chatty, a little, trying to conserve my energy and just kind of trying to get my work done quietly at my desk and not exert too much energy.
A lot of people don't necessarily want to bring up issues of religion and faith at a workplace, but does it help to talk about these things with coworkers, maybe bosses, to see how best to work with each other during this time?
I think absolutely, because, you know, on the one hand, fasting is a very personal thing. You know, you may not even realize that somebody is fasting until, you know, you get into an awkward situation where you invite them for lunch, or maybe there's cake in the boardroom and they say, oh, no, I'm sorry, I'm fasting. And that might be the first moment and you don't know what to do. So it is a good idea to open up that line of conversation and ask questions, because they also want to be able to perform well in the workplace. They don't want the fast to affect their workplace. But there are things that an employer can do, say, to help them out, depending on the type of work that they're in. So, you know, your employee may ask to shift their work hours to earlier in the day or later in the day. Or they may ask, you know, I don't need the full lunch hour because I'm not eating lunch. Can I just work through lunch and leave an hour early? Or can I work from home if that's an option? So kind of being mindful of the very long day that they're going to have, and if they have the option to, move their shift around. The other piece is if they're in a job that is obviously very physically strenuous, you know, that's something to keep in mind. If there is an option for the tasks that are going to be assigned, you know, if there is an option to give them a task indoors or that is less strenuous physically, so they can kind of conserve some of that energy, I'm sure they would really appreciate that.
Yeah, suppose there's a manager, a boss somewhere out there who's thinking, okay, I know I have some employees who are going to be observing Ramadan. I don't know what I could do to help. I'd like to, without getting into legal ramifications, which could be a whole different conversation.
Sure.
But if there's that boss, how do they make that approach? How do they talk to their employees to figure out what's going to work?
Yeah, I think the best thing is to ask them, you know, is there anything that I can do to help make your fast easier? As I mentioned, giving them those options of flexibility. Here's what we can do. You know, let's put you on an evening shift so you can sleep in the morning and start your day later, since you won't break the fast until 9 o'clock in some cities. So I think actually asking them if there's anything that can be done so that you can come to a compromise together about what works best. And you know what, some people, you know, if their job really is something that's physically strenuous, you know, if they're a construction worker, if they're a firefighter, or they're an athlete, they may decide not to fast. So that's something to keep in mind too, that not everybody fasts. People don't fast for a number of reasons, and there are a number of exemptions for fasting. If you're sick, pregnant, breastfeeding, you know, all of these kinds of things. So some people may actually choose not to fast, and they can give to charity instead. So also don't assume that everyone's fasting.
So maybe non-Muslims don't step up and help police your Muslim coworkers on their
exactly.
fasting.
This is not the time to become the fasting police. If you see someone eating a sandwich, don't shame them. you know, women don't fast when they're menstruating. So a lot of women often have that awkward conversation where they were fasting and then suddenly they're eating their lunch and their coworker comes and says, hey, I thought you were fasting. You know, that might not be something that they want to divulge. If they're taking medication because they're sick, you know, maybe they don't want to divulge their health issues. So, you know, yeah, don't become the fasting police if you see someone who is not fasting.
Talking to Janella Massa, she's a reporter in Toronto. Her piece in the Globe and Mail there titled How You Can Help Your Colleagues During Ramadan. Let's stay with those colleagues. Don't police the fasting. Got it. Are there, maybe I don't want to judge them, stupid questions, unpleasant things to bring up, maybe that people should steer clear of when
talking
about
Ramadan?
Well,
I always say no question is stupid. I'm sure most Muslims would prefer that you ask them. They won't be offended. If you are, they probably will tell you. Don't be afraid to ask. The one thing I always say is, like, don't feel like you can't eat in front of me. Don't feel sorry for me. Don't apologize if you offered me your wife's homemade brownies and you forgot that I was fasting. It's okay. We've chosen to fast, and we know that the world will go on without us. We will be okay. We will live. So enjoy your lunch and don't, you know, don't feel like you have to hide in the corner if you're, you know, enjoying a snack at your desk. It's fine.
Now, I understand Ramadan is a holiday that moves. It follows a lunar calendar, not the solar calendar, which means it may happen at different times during a calendar year.
Exactly.
And this time it's happening when the days are pretty long, meaning you're fasting for longer than you would in Ramadan's past.
Exactly. So, as you mentioned, the calendar shifts back about 10 days every year. So this is pretty much the longest it'll ever be because, you know, the summer equinox lands right in the middle of June, right in the middle of Ramadan. So that'll be the longest day of daylight, and we fast during daylight hours. So it definitely is a bit more challenging this year. And with the weather, you know, it's hot outside. You know, in years past, I used to fast in wintertime, and it was super easy. You know, you pretty much get up a little bit earlier to eat your breakfast. You come back from school or work, and it's just a couple hours, and it's sunset already. So this one is a little bit more of a challenge.
Now, you get to look forward to something fun at the end, it sounds like. Eid, am I saying that right? The festival after Ramadan ends?
That's right. So
what
are
happens?
Actually two Eids in the Islamic faith. This is one of them. The other one is the pilgrimage to Mecca for Hajj. So this is Eid al-Fitr. Essentially, you would usually go for prayer in the morning. You would visit family and friends. You give to charity on Eid. If we're talking about the workplace, one thing that's a little bit tricky, because you mentioned the lunar calendar, the end of the month, at the beginning of the month, is marked by the birth of the new moon. So you would see the tiny sliver of moon in the sky. And sometimes there's some discrepancy as to whether it was seen or not. So you may have people who are celebrating Eid on two different days, like a Monday or a Tuesday. Or your employee might tell you, you know, I need Eid off so I can celebrate with my family, but I don't know yet what it's going to be. I'm going to have to tell you the day before. So that's something that's a little bit tricky. But usually Eid is celebrated with family and friends. You get to enjoy your reward after fasting for 30 days and eating lots of treats and gifts and, you know, money for the young children and also a donation to charity.
Janella, I hate to ask you this in the middle of a fasting day, but what kind of foods do you look forward to on that Eid celebration?
I will tell you that when you're fasting, everything tastes more delicious when you break your fast. So it really does not matter what it is. Everything tastes delicious at iftar time. That's the time that you eat your meal. You know, so usually when I start to get to the part of the day where I'm starting to fade is when I start thinking about what I'm going to have for dinner and dreaming up all of the things that I'm going to eat. I know that, you know, lots of people have traditional foods, but it totally varies because Muslims come from such a huge, diverse ethnic background. So everyone has their ethnic foods that they love, and it might be different. There's no one kind of food, but everyone usually does break their fast with dates. That's a very common thing that you'll find in a Muslim household during Ramadan.
Janella, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Janella Massa. She's a Toronto-based reporter who wrote the article, How You Can Help Your Colleagues During Ramadan, for the Globe and Mail.